to be happened to be that I'm the 14th PhD student from Milton's group, and I stayed with Milton for a period between 1997 to 2004. I don't know why I do my PhD for that long period of time, and and part of the reason is I joined his company in year 2001, and that was a very nice experience for me. And today, I would like to give you some overview of what we have been done at Illinois and what I have been doing at Georgia Tech, with a focus on the 3.5 microelectronics. So since I have been staying with Milton for so long, I learned a lot from Milton. The first thing I learned is his English. Or words of wisdom, right? So as many of you have known, Milton has a perfect English, and the most famous one, I guess, is this. One more harder, okay? At first, if you are not a very good English speaker, you will think this is perfect English. And once more, if you look harder, and you take a harder as a noun, then this is a perfect English, all right? So, great. So the second famous word is, do your job. Okay, I don't know what that means, but it was on the door. Sometime during the Saturday morning, someone didn't show up. Okay, and of course, there are more, but they are censored in this classroom. So I'm very happy to communicate with you under the table offline, and you will see what's going on there. But even though all of us experience a lot of verbal abuse from Milton, but down deep you will feel he is a very sincere guy, and he has a perseverance of the pursuit of truth. And throughout all my study, I have been influenced by two very important words or sentence from him. Every time he will ask you these two questions: are you sure you're solving the right problem? Okay? And whenever you don't have data, don't even think about talking to him. So these two philosophies really guide through a lot of research. And as you see here, Milton has done a lot of excellent work. And I think he has a very good philosophy in terms of taking advanced research to move forward. Okay? And for the record, if you happen to see Milton's written proposal, not a presentation, you will see that he is writing a perfect English. So the way I interpret this is that Milton is a master of communication expert. He wants to use an imperfect English to draw your attention so you can work harder.
Thank you.
And one of the influence he has on me is the hardworking attitude. Okay?
9 o'clock.
This 9 o'clock Saturday meeting, yes.
That's
8 a.m. Oh, it was 8 a.m. In my time, it was 9 a.m. What? So I don't know what's the time slot right now. Maybe Friday morning?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. Right? But it can be always be compensated by this very important meeting at Mandarin Walk. So it's a very, very, very pleasant experience for me to work with Milton throughout all these years. So I'd like to show a little bit of what we have done here. And when I joined HSIC in 1997, this is my first job assignment, just sitting in front of a big furnace tube coated with full of arsenic and try to smell it and try to stay alive. This is the most famous CAT system. CAT, I think it stands for capillary anneal tube. So what we did is for a lot of arsenic and hydrogen and anneal, the implant, ion implanted gallium arsenide in a vertical flow so that they can activate the dopant to make MESFET. And we spent a lot of time doing this annealing process established, I guess, by Jeremy and our previous lab mate. And this is a very good experience for me. I sit in front of this tube in the middle of night, have nothing to do but chat with my lab mate, with a day feature, and I actually learn a lot of good English from him. That's how I can speak here today. So I really owe a lot of appreciation to him. Okay, with this ion-implanted gallium arsenide MESFET, we have been staying on top of the performance curve as Pete shown previously. And after he graduated, we're still working on this project. And we have been able to achieve FT of 142 gigahertz with a valence of 120 nanometer. So this is a state-of-the-art ion-implanted demo gallium arsenide MESFET. If you had any chance to talk to any old guy, I should not say old in front of this event, right? Young guy. Experienced guy. Say, for example, Dr. Chow, P.C. Chow at BAE, last time I talked to him and he said, well, Milton, he just has a way to make HBT, MESFET work, and no one knows how. And that's Milton's big contribution in this field. And we are very fortunate to leverage this technology to make quite a few NMIC here at UIUC. And there's a lot of folks involved in this work, dealing with circuit design as well as process. Fabricated here. Yes, yeah, so all of them are made here, and we are building those circuits on a 3-inch gallium arsenide. So a lot of people say, well, you are a university guy, you cannot do, I should not say shit here, should I? But we did it, and we repeatedly demonstrated that if you have a good control of your process with an expert like Milton, you can always achieve something great, even though this is in a very uncontrollable environment. So a lot of people here probably don't know that Milton is also holding a record for the Eichmann's development in terms of a switch development. And all of these developments start with this simple word. I think sometimes he just think a rookie doesn't know anything is a good place to put him in a very hot spot. And if it works, he can graduate. If not, stay longer, right?
New student.
New student, right. This. Exactly. So that is the second job assignment Milton gave me. At that time, I was not very interested in working on MEMS because Milton always discouraged this kind of activities. But apparently, there is some opportunities there. So he looked across the fabricated MEMS devices. He figured out that all of the devices are operating at a very high voltage. And there is no point for you to operate a device, especially mechanical devices, in such a high voltage. It will only cause a mechanical failure. So we went on and tried to figure out what can we do to achieve a low voltage MEMS devices. And here's a patent we filed back in year 1999. And this device is called hinged main switch. And what it does is we build a hinged structure to clamp a moving or freestanding metal piece in between two electro pads, so that you can use electro potential to control the position of the middle metal, number 17 here. So this turned out to be a very stupid idea, because if you look through this structure, there's one element missing, which is the ground. If there is no electrical ground to the middle metal plate, all you have is a very uncontrollable system. They can be flipping up or down just because of some electric charge. But we are pretty lucky to make it work, and the problem or the solution is that the bracket here is actually in direct contact to the ground, so the metal in some states, they are electrically grounded, so you still can make a switch. But this is not very good, and so we spent quite a few time to figure out how to fabricate this device, how to optimize this device, and it literally took me almost 3 years for zero result. And in that regard, I really like to acknowledge Milton's patience for tolerating a stupid student doing nothing for 3 years, and finally we come to a solution. So this is what we have. Let's see if I can make it work. This is the very first arc main switch not working in the real operation mode. As you see here, the membrane in the middle is moving up and down, and by moving up and down, you can provide a shunt circuit down to the ground in the middle path. So later, Richard, who is another stupid guy in Milton's group, he did a measurement from a zero or 250 megahertz to the 100 gigahertz, and you can see that this main switch actually can outperform any of transistor-based switch to date. And that is not enough. In order for you to make this useful, you have to make it reliable. So Milton is a very stubborn guy who will not give up very easily, and even though he understands this is not a technology that is going to go anywhere, he's still pushing the technology, and you find out that he's the best in his field. Okay, and this is a reliability data for the main switch. As you see here, he can achieve the operation voltage, actuation voltage less than 20 volts with 10 to the 9th of a switching cycle before you fail it. This is a pretty amazing, and they also make a circuit out of it. This is a 20 gigahertz, 1-bit, 90 degree phase shifter, and fabricated by Milton's group. So, like I said, this is not a very manufacturable technology, so I cannot wait to get out of this topic. So I got an opportunity in year 2001. He asked me a question again, which I'm very happy. He said, do you want to work on indium phosphide HBT and OAIC? And of course, I would jump right ahead and say yes. So there are five guys who joined this team as an engineer, and I will call them a stupid five. And among them, there are Dave Kalous, Doris Chen, who's here, Jeff Fan, and Anthru, and this stupid guy. So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to fabricate indium phosphide HBTs in this uncontrollable university lab, it turns out it's very controllable if you know how to deal with the system. And we also work in different angles, try to optimize the device design as well as the circuit design. And this is what we have. We luckily demonstrate the first monolithic 40 gigabit differential pin plus TIA integrated receiver. And through the process development, we can get around 70-60% of a circuit yield with this kind of tight control in the transimpedance. So so this is quite a few experience for me. In particular, as a graduate student and become an industry guy and trying to implement something that is useful for the future and try to see if I can make money. And it turns out I cannot make money, so like Andrea says, I had to help someone to make money. So that's why I, in 2005, I'm very fortunate to have an opportunity to join Georgia Tech and work with Ross to develop three nitride-based transistors. And so far, we are focused on three major areas in transistor development. One is in the RF PEMT devices. This is funded by DARPA under the NNEST program. And we are looking into different vectors of transistor in the three nitride systems. And power electronics is another hot area. And in order for you to replace the current silicon component with a more efficient and higher operation temperature component, gallium nitride has become one of the major research topics. And on the side, we are also looking into the possibility to push forward the three nitride HBTs, because up to date, there are only a handful of research groups or companies in the world that can really make the HBT work. And one of the pioneers is, of course, in the Milton's group. But you will see we are trying to beat him up. Right, so I think Ross showed us this chart previously, and the material system we are working on is mostly on the L-GaN on top of a GaN, and right now we have an opportunity to go up to use the indium aluminum nitride built on top of gallium nitride. And the good thing about a nitride semiconductor is that they are polar semiconductors. And because they are polar semiconductor, they have a spontaneous polarization. And if you build a heterostructure on top of it, they can create a piezoelectric polarization. And these two polarization, if you lay a line properly, they are becoming additive nature. And in the end, you don't need any doping inside of this heterostructure, and you still can create a two-dimensional electron gas. So that is the idea for the three nitride HEMT development these days, and most of them are working on an L-GaN system. So here's an example for a smart grid. The gallium nitride technology fits very well into this smart grid scenario. If you look at the future smart grid, you will see that the gallium nitride can be used in various of power conversion systems. If you look at the down conversion spot, you currently have a very big transformers that is made of a lot of wires, and if you can have a way to create a technology that can sustain an operation up to 200 degrees Celsius under the sun, then you have a way to create or make a solid state transformers. And by making a solid state transformers, you don't even need these big transformers. You can embed your solid state transformers into a very compact system. And on the other hand, you have a lot of new renewable energy devices at home in the future. And in off-peak time, you want to sell those energy back to the grid, and those energy are not synchronized. So you have to have a digitally controlled converters and regulators so that they can in sync with the grid. And in order for you to do that, silicon may work, but they are very lossy at present date. So those issues has been addressed in the 3-nitride transistors. So currently, I'm working on a high-power gallium nitride transistor development, working with Ross at Georgia Tech. We are tackle this problem from the material development as well as the device fabrication aspect. And as you see here, this is a 2-inch sapphire wafer we made at Georgia Tech with a 10-amp device built on top of it. This is a blow-up version of the 10-amp gallium nitride FET. This particular device can go up to beyond 600 volts of breakdown voltage with a turn-on resistance of 0.6 ohm. This performance is about 100 times better than the silicon devices, and this is some big areas the silicon polyelectronics sector is actively looking into right now. So another device I am working on is gallium nitride BTs. I know if you are a Inilai who work on the semiconductor, and if you don't want to work on HBTs, this is a pretty waste of a resource, right? Because you know what HBT is. So I just cannot help myself. And when I joined Georgia Tech, and I have a great opportunity to work with Ross, and he has the best material in the world, and we are working on these gallium nitride HBTs. But the problem with HBTs is not as simple. It's not Mesa etching. You have to deal with a lot of surface state and the defect, and also a lot of processing related issues. So we try to sort out the processing module one by one. One of the efforts we have been doing at Georgia Tech is try to find out a better etching method so that you can modify or fix the surface roughness after the Mesa etching, and it turned out to be very effective. And after that, we can use a very simple process flow to make a very high performance BTs. So this is one of the best data we can show you today. Using the indium gallium nitride as a base, we can achieve a current gain of 110. Oh, I thought it was 105. With an emitter size of 20 by 20. And we can also operate this kind of device up to 40 volt at a current density of 5 kOm per centimeter without any device degradation. So this promises a good potential for the gallium nitride BTs in the future, and we are still trying to work on a better device performance through process optimization, and in the hope that in the near future we can show you the highest performance of InGaN HBTs. So here is a summary of a device performance for the InGaN HBTs. UIUC was the leader in this arena for many, many years, and it's starting from year 2000. J.J. Huang, he demonstrated that the HBT can be made with a very good performance with a gain around 20. And over the years, Newton's group has been trying to push the technology envelope by giving a higher current gain and a higher current density drive. And this is the technology trend UIUC can make back in the year 2007. And I'm very fortunate to have this opportunity to work on these HBTs. So right now, we can push the current gain all the way beyond 100, and the collector current can be over 200 milliamp. The next thing is to demonstrate the RF performance of HBTs. And if you are working on this technology, you know it is not that easy. It's not just one sentence, but many, many years of work to reach the next step. So it's something we are working on. But overall, I'm very grateful that Milton, he has confidence in me to introduce me to this semiconductor world and teach me a lot of lessons. So,
that's
true. Yeah, we all speak perfect English, right? So, I meant to say a lot of good words about Milton, but he will probably don't want me to say that. He will say, "Well, don't kiss my butt," right? So on his birthday, well, I meant to say happy birthday in different ways, but I hope you don't take it in a very offensive way, okay? So on your birthday, this is my wish to you, okay? I hope you can get up early and strike a TLO, yo, okay? But I know you will get up early by 6 because you are already 60 years old, okay? Yeah. But this is what I would suggest. After you walk the dog, okay, and keep yelling at your folks with this word, one more harder, okay? But the Chinese says that you can do everything at 60 years old, meaning that you can yell at your student at the same time you can walk the dog. And I'm expecting many, many great things from you for the many years to come, because in another Chinese saying that your life only starts after 70 years old. So you are minus 10 years old, and I'm sure you have a lot to see. Okay, 60 years young. All right, well, thank you.